Hi, this is Nelly Furtado, and you're listening to CKLN-FM.
Please be advised that this program is being monitored to ensure compliance with Canadian broadcast codes and regulation.
This program is not intended for children. It contains scenes of violence, extremely coarse language, and nudity. Some adults may be offended by the content. Viewer discretion is strongly advised.
Appearing before a convention of evangelical Christians, President Ronald Reagan delivered one of the most forceful speeches of his administration on the subjects of theology and war, morality and government.
For the first time, the Congress is openly and seriously debating and dealing with the prayer and abortion issues, and that's enormous progress right there. I repeat, America is in the midst of a spiritual awakening and a moral renewal, and with your biblical keynote, I say today, yes, let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Now, obviously, much of this new political and social consensus I've talked about is based on a positive view of American history, one that takes pride in our country's accomplishments and record. But we must never forget that no government schemes are going to perfect man. We know that living in this world means dealing with what philosophers would call the phenomenology of evil, or as theologians would put it, the doctrine of sin. There is sin and evil in the world, and we're enjoined by Scripture and the Lord Jesus to oppose it with all our might. Our nation, too, has a legacy of evil with which it must deal. The glory of this land has been its capacity for transcending the moral evils of our past. For example, the long struggle of minority citizens for equal rights, once a source of disunity and civil war, is now a point of pride for all Americans. We must never go back. There is no room for racism, anti-Semitism, or other forms of ethnic and racial hatred in this country. I know that you've been horrified, as have I, by the resurgence of some hate groups preaching bigotry and prejudice. Use the mighty voice of your pulpits and the powerful standing of your churches to denounce and isolate these hate groups in our midst. The commandment given us is clear and simple. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But whatever sad episodes exist in our past, any objective observer must hold a positive view of American history, a history that has been the story of hopes fulfilled and dreams made into reality. Especially in this century, America has kept alight the torch of freedom, but not just for ourselves, but for millions of others around the world. And this brings me to my final point today. During my first press conference as president, in answer to a direct question, I pointed out that as good Marxist-Leninists, the Soviet leaders have openly and publicly declared that the only morality they recognize is that which will further their cause, which is world revolution. I think I should point out I was only quoting Lenin, their guiding spirit, who said in 1920 that they repudiate all morality that proceeds from supernatural ideas, that's their name for religion, or ideas that are outside class conceptions. Morality is entirely subordinate to the interests of class war, and everything is moral that is necessary for the annihilation of the old exploiting social order and for uniting the proletariat. Well, I think the refusal of many influential people to accept this elementary fact of Soviet doctrine illustrates an historical reluctance to see totalitarian powers for what they are. We saw this phenomenon in the 1930s. We see it too often today. This doesn't mean we should isolate ourselves and refuse to seek an understanding with them. I intend to do everything I can to persuade them of our peaceful intent, to remind them that it was the West that refused to use its nuclear monopoly in the 40s and 50s for territorial gain, and which now proposes 50% cut in strategic ballistic missiles and the elimination of an entire class of land-based intermediate-range nuclear missiles. At the same time, however, they must be made to understand we will never compromise our principles and standards. We will never give away our freedom. We will never abandon our belief in God. You know, I've always believed that old Screwtape reserved his best efforts for those of you in the church. So in your discussions of the nuclear freeze proposals, I urge you to beware the temptation of pride, the temptation of blithely declaring yourselves above it all and label both sides equally at fault, to ignore the facts of history and the aggressive impulses of an evil empire, to simply call the arms race a giant misunderstanding, and thereby remove yourself from the struggle between right and wrong and good and evil. I ask you to resist the attempts of those who would have you withhold your support for our efforts, this administration's efforts, to keep America strong and free while we negotiate real and verifiable reductions in the world's nuclear arsenals and one day, with God's help, their total elimination.
This is CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, Canada.
Next, the International Connection in color.
I suspect that possibly he's nostalgic about Stalin.
Who wanna do this?
Stretch. You mind if I call you Stretch in front of you?
I've been called worse.
Okay. Gregory.
Present and accounted for, President George. This is Greg Duffel, sometimes known as Gregory Duffel. You're on the Wheels of Steel, everybody. And my co-host this morning, just for this morning, I have no idea why that thing didn't work. It's unreliable. Very unreliable.
I want Bush to call me.
Why is it?
I want Bush to call me.
He wants, yeah, we need to get a person in there in the press corps. His name is Daniel. The only reason that we get these Gregories is because there's a a reporter for NBC called David Gregory, and he refers to him as Gregory. Gregory.
Gregory.
Why do we need
him? Gregory. 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 He's an impressive fella.
Thank you, George. Thank you. Well, this is the International Connection. We're here every Sunday on CKLN between 8:30 and 10:30 in the morning. Contrary to...
Oh, Gregory, it's your mother.
There's another person that... That's my birth name. She gave
Gregory.
Me that name.
Oh, I have that one now.
You're coming through only on the
this
left channel, Daniel.
Silverware.
Who's coming in?
You are coming in only
what?
Primarily
what,
for
this?
Me over here. You're coming in over on the left channel only. Yeah.
Left or your right? You're pointing to your right.
No, you're coming in over here.
My voice.
Yes.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'm only coming in through one channel.
Right. Hold on.
What a nightmare.
Hold on. Is there any way to fix that? Is there something?
Oh, is everything coming in through only the left channel?
I don't know. Try something else.
Try what? A clip?
Yeah.
Thank you, Gregory.
No, that's in the middle-ish.
Thank you, Gregory.
Yeah, no, that's right in the middle of my head. You're on the left side of my head.
Well, Gregory, it's your mother.
Yeah, you're over here.
I'm over there.
You're over here.
That's no good.
Yeah, yeah.
But do we know
I'm kind of in the middle.
Do we know if that's going out over the air like that?
We don't have no
we
idea.
Have no way of telling.
We have no idea. Maybe someone with a stereo receiver out there could monitor this and tell us whether we are.
If you have a mono radio, it pulls it off from the left channel. So you should.
You may
able
not
to,
hear. Oh, so you'll be. You should be able to hear Daniel perfectly.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. We need to hear Daniel. Everybody needs to hear Daniel in the morning. Now, our website is www.axisofevilradio.com. Now, there is some confusion about this. I will repeat it again. www.axisofevilradio.com. He enunciated very clearly.
What confusion was there?
Well, one of our listeners, who shall remain nameless, Mara, wrote to us and said that there was confusion about it, and she thought it might have been access of evil. A-C-C-E-S-S. It's not, you're not accessing evil.
Ever and Kim Jong-il is as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if you said that, but Shannon Robinson used to do the show with him.
Yeah.
And so I've clarified that for her in a personal email. Now, let's say you're having trouble out there. You have a computer. You're having some difficulty in finding our website. It's fairly simple to find it, even if you don't have our exact address. If you cannot remember, www.axisofevilradio.com. What you can do is go into a search engine, type International Connection
Radio.
And CKLN.
Yeah.
And chances are
you'll get it.
You're going to find the Axis of Evil Radio.
Or you go to CKLN's website.
Go to CKLN's website, and we are now linked from there.
Yeah. Where's that?
www.ckln.fm. Maybe. Now, there is amazing stuff on
CKLN's website?
On our website.
Oh, okay.
And it's very strange to hear you over on the
channel.
On the left there, yeah. hiding, scurried over into a corner.
Four? I mean, here, I'll go
here. Okay, hold on. I'll okay. Try four.
Okay.
Four?
Whoa. Okay, four?
You're in the middle now.
I'm in the middle now?
You're in the middle now.
Okay. I'll
all
stay
right.
there.
Okay. Daniel's now in the middle, all right?
I'll stay on four.
For all of you stereo enthusiasts. Why is the phone on over there? Who's on the... Is anybody on the phone?
I can't see.
I can't see
My
either.
Door is closed. Are they on our main line?
Yeah.
Let me go yell at them.
Okay. No, not on the main line. No, they're on the
okay.
Someone up in the studio? Or someone out there?
No one's out there.
Is someone up in the office?
I don't know.
I wonder if Michael's there.
Michael? Yes.
Then we can find out what went wrong with the computer. Okay, so you heard Ronald Reagan
talking about
us, really. I thought it's interesting. Normally, these American ideologues don't go into explanations about Marxism at all.
They hardly ever mention it. They just say communism.
Communism. Yeah, he went into Marxism and actually started explaining it.
Well, he had to.
Yeah. And he was in front of a friendly audience. To any other audience, they might go, really? If we believe in religion, we believe in supernatural things? I thought God was real.
It sounded less friendly because I edited out the clapping.
Oh.
but it was pretty friendly.
I'm going to play this.
The phone number. You can phone us here this morning if you want at 416-595-1655. That's 5 being how many fingers you have on your hand, 9-5-1-6-5-5.
Now, I'm going to try and do this briefly, but we have a service on our website called the Comrades Community Chat Portal.
It's very communist.
Now, right now, we have ThingBad. ThingBad has joined the Comrades Community Chat Portal, otherwise known as CCCP.
Yeah, the CCCP.
And now, actually, in front of my home today is a symbol of the CCCP.
What'd you do?
Which I put the flag out. The flag is proudly out the second floor of my window. So I'm not going to tell you where I live, but it's outside my window. And it's maybe hidden by a tree a little bit, but it's out there. You should be able to see it. And the hammer and sickle are proudly out there because today, everybody, is May Day. This is a big day for us. And that the international connection.
Yeah.
This is a very powerful year, I think, for our show because it's a nice national anthem. It's better than ours. Better than the Canadian one, that phony one.
They don't have God in this one.
Yeah, that whole God thing. I won't say that. I'm not standing for the national anthem. When I'm in public groups, I do not stand for the national anthem. I don't do it. I don't care what it makes me look like.
I do, but I show the finger while I do it.
Do you really stand?
I stand and I show the finger.
Oh,
Middle finger. Middle finger salute.
Until there are rights for native people in this land, I'm not standing.
Right. Notice how all... Do you notice how they give, like, awards to native people, and they give them... This country is constantly giving our native people of this country, like, awards and special naming. Like, oh, guess what? Your Indian name gets to name a new city or a new street. But we never actually want to give them any money.
Right.
We always want to give them little, like, prizes and little incentives that mean nothing.
No opportunities.
Native people in this country don't need roads and cities named after their culture.
No.
They don't need that. Where did I see that? It was in BC or something they do that? They do that all the time, all across this country.
What? Hold on.
Constantly naming things after the First Nations people. What is that sound?
I don't know.
That's
somebody's
weird. What's
somebody's going on 1655.
Someone's on it.
Yeah. What's going on here?
Pick up.
Hold on.
Pick up. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go off. I'm going to pick up the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Hello? Oh, Andy. Oh, hold on. What's going on? What's that noise?
Yeah, what is that? I hear, like, beeping.
What? A fax machine? Hold on. We've got problems.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Copy.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's a fax machine. Okay.
Whose fax machine? Is that on our end, Andy?
It's on our end. It's on our end.
We have a fax machine hooked up to the main phone line?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's doing this?
I don't know. I can't...
Is it still there?
I can't hang the phone up.
Why can't you hang the phone up? Oh, because the fax machine's picked it up, right?
But I can't get any line.
No lines work?
Okay.
What's the matter? Is it okay now?
No, I don't know. Now, we're going to have to do this another way. Hold on, I'm going to check this and see whether...
We can do this properly?
Go ahead. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
This is Andy right back at
you. Oh, hi, Andy.
There we go.
Gregory on deck. Are you on deck, Gregory?
Yeah, I'm here. Here. Gregory's here.
Gregory is here.
Gregory.
David Gregory, please.
Gregory.
It is Gregory, isn't it?
Yes, Gregory. Gregory is here.
You asked it in a kind of question fashion. It's Gregory, isn't it? Yeah, David Gregory. You have a question, David?
Gregory.
Gregory. Stretch.
And Stretch, well, Stretch, you know, that caught me because I used to be called that in high school with
Gregory.
My height.
Yeah.
So I just jumped off the couch. I haven't heard that in 30 years.
Now, if you want to see Andy giving a tour of the CKLN
yes.
studios, you can go to our website at accessofevilradio.com, and you can see Andy giving a tour of...
Absolutely. That's the Fun Fest tour. I actually went on the website this week. I was at my son-in-law's house, and it's easy to get to accessofevilradio.com.
It sure is.
I mean, we got there at a New York minute, and there I was, and I want to thank you for putting that together, what I call Andy Cam.
Actually, what I forgot to do, Andy, this week, and I'm going to do it, we received another... a cartoon from you.
Yes.
You scribble in the newspaper on pictures. You give them little captions, these
yes.
bubble captions to characters.
For the minute.
We're going to make like a Andy gallery of Andy cartoons.
Yeah, because we looked for the first one. We couldn't find where it was listed under.
We've had a lot of, let's just say, technical problems have been happening over the last
week. We'll show up, I'm sure.
So we received quite a bit of mail this week, didn't we, Daniel?
May Day celebrations are certainly underway here at the 2010 apartment.
Good.
With the Russian bear enjoying that full blast rendition of the Russian national anthem.
That's true, Andy, and I did remark to Daniel the other day that you had not been speaking much about the bear, so I thought maybe you had it euthanized.
No,
and didn't want to tell us.
The bear is still with us.
Okay, good.
You know, he's just come out of hibernation. He went down to sleep in the middle of January, so he's just coming to.
You remember that, Greg?
Hibernation.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
We put him underneath the couch for a few months. And
must raise the couch a few feet. Huh?
Absolutely.
No, no, actually,
when he's on his hind legs, he's almost 11 feet tall. Annie, it just shocks the hell out of Annie.
Yeah, but really, the bear is actually a lot like those exercise machines that you can fold up and you can put underneath.
Absolutely.
Right?
You get it at any Walmart.
Yeah, you fold up the bear and you put him under.
Now, just a couple of notes here. First of all, if I could just go back to last week, I want to thank musical guest Miss Barbara Fish.
Yeah.
For last week coming on the show, a lively conversationalist, of course. Miss Barbara Fish certainly can cut the airwaves in her own inimitable style. And our program note, someone that near and dear to us, one of our listeners out there, he turned 73 this That's week. Happy birthday to Casey Kasin.
Oh.
Turning 73 this week. Casey, we know you're out there and listening. Happy birthday on behalf of all the audience. 73 years old,
Casey Kasin.
All right.
There he is in studio with us now.
Hi, this is Casey Kasin, inviting you to listen this Sunday right here on the Entertaining Sea, KLN FM.
Casey, happy birthday, and many more to come, Casey. 73. He looks good for 73.
Wonder if he's still married to Jean Kasin, that woman that appeared in the show Cheers. That very tall, blonde,
that big
woman.
Yes.
I saw her on TV the other day. I thought, that's Jean Kasin.
I saw him side by side on People magazine, and he was staring into her navel for most of the time. You know, this is high as he could get.
Okay, I want to say that Casey Kasin has very, very progressive politics.
Yes.
And
is it communist?
He left doing the voice on Scooby-Doo because he felt that the show was encouraging children to eat bad food. And because of the Scooby snacks, and he exited that, and all of the money that went along with it. Now he might have been just fed up with doing it.
Did you want to remove that off the?
Oh yeah.
I forgot to tell you earlier.
Yeah.
Other than that, May Day celebrations full blast here. I got a piece of weather. If I could run through you a few numbers here.
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. Yeah. As the resident CKLN meteorologist, I'd like to give the current temperature at +4. That's actually our morning high. Our afternoon will be +12, chance of scattered showers, few clouds right now. The winds are calm, everything's still. The sun's been up since 6:10 this morning. It'll go to 8:21 tonight for 14 hours and 11 minutes of glorious daylight. Once again, +4. Let's get out on the balcony and take a look at the Don Valley Parkway as it moves in a kind of Sunday fashion. Nicely traveled, no accidents to report of, nice sunrise happening here, north and southbound in great shape, Don Mills Road, lightly traveled, early Sunday morning, and I can see the O'Connor Bridge at Woodbine, everything is doing what it's supposed to do, so everything's under control for Sunday, certainly a nice May Day to start the first day of May at +4, afternoon +12, get outside if you can, and that's all for now, I'll continue to listen.
Andy?
Yes, sir.
Do you know the music that we play behind you? Do you know what it's from?
Do you know where this music is from?
No. Is it TV?
Yes.
Annie's coming in to listen. Look at Annie put her ear right against that radio. What is that, Annie? Days of Our Lives or Guiding Light?
No? Not a soap opera.
Is that a soap opera? What is it, Annie? Is it a Crest commercial?
No, it's not from a commercial.
We're out of gases here.
It's from a 24-hour news network.
Okay. It's not the Weather Channel, because they've just changed their zone.
No, it's not Weather Channel.
Maybe News World.
It does come from News World.
Okay. Hour.
No, it does not come from one of their native shows. They buy this service.
Do they still do this?
Do they? I don't know they still do that.
It's called Earth TV.
Oh, for the love of God.
So, and they do weather, and that's why we use it.
Oh, I see. Well, that's very nice. It works and fits in well.
That's why we use it for you, Andy.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll continue to listen and let other callers call in. I encourage other callers. And I also want the call counters to keep a listen to the radio. We know you're out there, you call counters. This was call number one, and you know I'm halfway through my maximum.
Oh, yeah.
Gregory?
Yes.
Yeah, Gregory.
Yes, Stretch.
Yes, Stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Gregory.
Yeah.
I think it's Duffel, the last name Duffel.
Yes.
CKLN, something up there, up north, above the 49th.
Yeah.
Question, Gregory?
Yeah. When are you going to be finished?
I'm just landing the plane right now. The Russian bears can sit back down. Annie's fixing some breakfast. We're having salt fish tonight. And she told me shut up when I said that. And that's all for now.
Okay,
thank
you.
We'll now return you to our regular scheduled program. And once again, happy birthday to Casey Kasem, wherever you are.
Thank you.
All those stories and more tonight on Edition 4 of The Desk.
The Desk? Yeah. Yeah, I've decided to rename the show at 9 o'clock. It's going to be called The Desk from now on.
Can we call it then The Current from 9:30 and call
maybe,
it The Hour at
maybe,
10 and
maybe,
call it The National at 10:30?
Well, everything V.
Yeah, we'll just copy rip-off CBC.
Yeah, we'll just copy their names. Yeah.
Why not? Other people seem to do it.
There are some wonderful examples of people who are, you know, fantastic heroes from the street. And why not bring on the chivalry?
That person sounds very tootie. Who is that?
And what do you do when the wrong crowd embraces your brand and damages your image?
Who's the wrong...
Yeah, when the wrong crowd embraces this program and damages our very carefully crafted image.
Who's embracing this show?
As far as I
understand, no one's listening.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
We just sit here and talk to ourselves. Except Andy.
Did you go to that website I gave you?
Which website?
Oh, yeah.
The one I...
No, I didn't.
Okay, but go to something like that. I saw some posters up. I want to discuss that. I'm going to play something that I heard on Norman Otis Richmond's show, the program called Saturday Morning Live.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was very good, particularly good, episode of the Mumia Abu-Jamal show.
Yeah.
So here it is.
Hello, everybody.
May Day is the People's Day. As the Iraq war continues to lurch from disaster to disaster, from scandal to scandal, and from puppet to puppet, people are beginning to see the futility of this mad scheme to remake other nations in our image. As more and more people, from more and more social strata, see the futility of this imperial grab for lands and oil, it becomes clearer and clearer that people must join together and resist. May Day, 2005. Presents a perfect opportunity for us to do so. It's a time chosen by American workers over a century ago to mark the triumph of an 8-hour work day with a full day's pay. The setting aside of May Day as International Workers' Day reflected a real social gain of the workers' movement and the realization that the working class exists in all nations and that the world was our home. It is precisely that sense of internationalism that is needed now to reclaim that high watermark of social activism and to turn away young folks from the mindless struggle for empire. As capital is globalized under the WTO and the IMF, the poor and working people, the majority of the people of this earth, must be globalized in internationalism and in defense of the many, not the few. What is necessary for this to prevail is the realization that this mad war in Iraq is, in reality, a war against the future generation here, a war against education, a war against decent health care, a war against decent housing, and a war against good jobs which pay living wages. The bombs may burst and the mortars may fire over there, but the human wreckage, the social dislocation, the destruction of communities, and the decimation of civil and constitutional rights is happening right here in the heart of the empire. It's therefore imperative that we join together across our perceived boundaries against the empire of eternal war. It's in our own self-interest to do so. Millions upon millions of people took to the streets in a valiant and historic attempt to stop this madcap dash to war. They were right then. They are right now. It's time to come back together to fight against the war against life. We can do it, and we must do it, to change the course of this imperial messianic militarism. Let us give a new birth to the meaning of May Day as a day of wide and deep solidarity against the empire. Those who will follow us will one day look back to us and ask, what did they do when the empire went mad? We must be able to say, we did everything in our power. We organized ourselves. We worked together. We stood against the madness of empire. This is what we must say. And that is what we must do to ensure a livable future for later generations. When we fight against this mad imperial enterprise, we fight for ourselves, our real selves, as workers, as builders, as fathers, as mothers, as brothers, as sisters, as the human family. Let's unite and fight against empire for May Day and every day. I thank you. On the move. Long live John Africa. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu Jamal.
Sounds good, huh?
Is he in jail?
In jail. Good radio guy.
Sounds good for radio from
jail. I know. He's a great radio personality. And anyway, I particularly enjoyed that one. Not that I don't enjoy each one of them.
I'd replace him with some of my neighbors, but...
Yeah. Now, I have a couple of announcements, I guess, to make. One of them is that William Upski Wimsatt is coming to Toronto this coming Thursday night at the Brigantine Room at Harbourfront. Now...
Who's he?
William Upski Wimsatt has written a book called Bomb the Suburbs and How to Get Stupid White Men Out of Office. That's his most recent book that he's edited and written portions of. William Upski Wimsatt, Upski being his tagging name or his graffiti name, because a lot of Bomb the Suburbs talks about his going around painting buildings and bridges and so on. He's going to be here in town and talking about various topics. I'd never heard of him before until I got a call from a gentleman by the name of Dalton Higgins at Harbourfront who listens to our program and thought that it might be a good idea to have the international connection involved with this presentation. So I don't understand it, but I'll be down there on Thursday at 7 p.m.
You know, because you announced this on the air, we have to get more security for you.
Do we?
Yeah.
I'll be there wearing my Axis of Evil Radio Network t-shirt or hoodie, whichever that may be.
You're going to be playing our show at their event? I'd like that.
Yeah, I'm going to plug. Yeah, sure. Why not? And they're even plugging us on their website. So now it's $10. $10 admission and $5 for students. So now I have not set the prices for this. They have. And I think they're maybe
what time
200.
Is it?
It's 7 p.m.
Yeah. How long does it
this
go
coming Thursday. Now, it should go for an hour and a half, 2 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
And there'll be a question period. So you can ask all the questions of me that you want. No, no, no. You ask questions of William Wimsatt. All right, William Upski Wimsatt. We're going to try and keep the focus on him. I don't know what I'm going to do there. I've read a portion, you know, I've got to go home and read today.
Yeah.
I've actually got to go home and read. So, I read
sounds like a nightmare. Why'd you drone?
I read about a quarter of the book last week and last Saturday and I just haven't had a moment spare. So now when I go home, I'm going to read the book. So that's this Thursday, May 5th. At 7 p.m. at the Brigantine Room at Harbourfront, you can come and see William Upski Wimsatt and I'm going to be there up on stage.
What road is that right in front of the Harborfront Center?
It's called Queens Quay.
Queens Quay.
Yeah, road. But some of you who speak phonetically would say Queens Quay. Queens Quay West. And so that would be, you could get there on the Spadina streetcar. It goes down that way. And you can also walk down from Union Station if that, or get the streetcar from Union Station. So it's in the Harborfront Complex. You should be able to find it.
Shipping yard.
It's in a sort of a low-rise building there.
Yeah.
So now the other thing that's happening tomorrow, which maybe some of our listeners can help us with this, because information has been very scant, so I've read. The U.S. Army is going to be at the University of Toronto tomorrow. And they are...
What time?
They're... Hold on. I'll get to that. They're soliciting research collaborations with faculty representatives. So representatives of the U.S. Army International Technology Center Canada will be at the University of Toronto on Monday to give a presentation where they will outline opportunities and goals for research collaboration with U of T faculty. If U of T research goes towards meeting the technological and scientific needs of the U.S. Army, then our public university is tacitly endorsing and benefiting financially from U.S. foreign policy and its deathly and destructive consequences for millions of people around the world. Now, there's a collective tentatively named Anti-SAM, Anti-SAM, of community members and students. And they're organizing to protest this grotesque event. Their goal is to disrupt the Army's presentation and to send a strong and vocal message that the U.S. Army is not welcome at the University of Toronto or elsewhere.
It's welcome here. I'll take them on the air.
So, now, there was supposed to be some kind of organizing meeting on Friday, but
nothing
they had a room location to be announced, and I was going to go over to it, but I didn't know what room to go to. I didn't receive any subsequent information about this, and I wasn't sure who to contact because I got it through a third party, through Melissa Brizuela here at the station. So,
are you going to go? So, do we know where it
well,
is?
Okay. Here's the information. I know you're here. Here it is, everybody. And I don't know why. When I click down, I engage the line. I don't understand that. It's funny. Okay, they're giving a presentation in the 1105 Sandford Fleming building.
I don't know where that is.
Okay, now, the University of Toronto, you just have to go there and figure it out, okay, because I can't tell you where this is. There are people, you know, in the activist community who pretty much live there because they went there, but for people on the outside who haven't gone to the University of Toronto, it's very difficult to find anything in there because it's all done through jargon. Almost. But anyway, 1105 Sanford Fleming Building. Now, some of you out there will know where that is. It's from 11 until 12 tomorrow, 11 a.m. till 12, and it's followed by a short 15-minute individual meeting with researchers beginning at 12:45 in Bayhen 8256. I don't know what that is.
What the hell
is that? Now, hopefully, somebody, an activist who might be awake and might listen to this program could give us information, but so far I don't have any. Now this is a job for the International Connection, right, Daniel?
What is?
We're going to go to this thing, aren't we?
Are we? I don't know. What time is it again?
It's around 11 in the morning, so we should be there around
10 or something.
10. Got to be there at 10.
I don't know. Are we going to go?
Well, yeah. What we do is what we did with Gore and Gorbachev.
What's the building again?
1105 Sanford Fleming Building. Sandford.
S-F?
S-A-N.
No, S-F is the initials.
S-F,
yeah. They do everything by stupid initials.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
If you want to give us a call, 416-595-1655. If you have information about this event, 416-595-1655, or if you just want to say anything about this, or if you want to join us. What we do is we go out with Soviet flags. I wear my Soviet hat, and we go out and protest, just like we did with Al Gore and Gorbachev. You found it?
Yeah.
What? You found what?
Sanford Fleming Building.
Yeah.
And where it is. It's in between. You go College Street.
Uh-huh.
You go past University. Then there's a road called King's College Road, and you go north on
yeah.
that. And Sanford Fleming is the third building to your left.
Okay. I think I know where that is.
So if you find the Convocation Hall, they have like this big front campus, this big
Okay, I know where it is.
Just a little south of there.
Yeah, okay.
That's Sanford Fleming Building.
Sanford Fleming Building.
So just about three buildings north of College.
Here's what the U.S. Army wrote to these potential collaborators.
Yeah.
Here, we got a call.
Here at the University of Toronto.
Yeah. Our phones, I think, are all screwed up today.
Yeah, we can't use
them. I know. Andy got through. He always manages to get through. This is a note from Monica Plettenberg, Operations Officer, U.S. Army. A key aspect of our mission is to identify innovative research and technology that has significant potential for homeland and Army capability improvements. Please bear in mind that many products and technologies are or become dual use, available to enhance the lives of the public at large while fulfilling important defense and security needs. Naturally, to meet this requirement, it only makes sense to explore what valuable S&T research resides within universities in order to determine if some collaborative relationships may be established. And they sent this to the University of Toronto. So, I guess if you can go out to the University of Toronto...
11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow, around 11, and you see people with red flags, that'll be us, and Access of Evil Radio Network t-shirts.
You guys
were CKLN 88, I got it yesterday. I tried to get the Yugoslav flag, it's very difficult to get. You're on the air, CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Yeah, that Sanford Fleming Building's just north of College Street, I think it's the first street east of St. George Street.
Is this the delay? Is this the delay? The stream delay?
The radio turned up. I don't know if there's feedback.
Okay, we did that. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Yes, we have that. Have you anything else to add? Do you know anything about this protest?
No, I don't, but I know where the building is.
Are you going to be there? Can you be there?
I'll think about it.
I think this is Borshko, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hi, Borshko. Yeah. This is our friendly collaborator. He came out to... with us to both the Gore and Gorbachev events, which you can see up online at accessofevilradio.com.
Yeah, I saw the website, but you got my name wrong. There's no R in my name.
Yeah, I figured maybe. Oh, yeah, I figured that was wrong. Is it just Bosko?
No, there's an H to get the sound.
Oh, really? The sound.
No, to get the SH sound.
Oh yeah. So spell that out.
Spell Bosko.
Oh, okay. Borshko. So it's as it as it sounds.
Yeah, sort of.
See, I used to know a guy named... I know him as Borshko.
Yeah, it's close, but... and like Borsh, but there's no R.
Yeah.
This pronunciation is like orange, like an orange.
Right.
But, the building's on the, what is it, the west side of that street.
Have you managed to see our presentation up online, Borshko?
Yeah, I saw it. It was good. The pictures are great.
Did you see the video?
No, I was at a, with the community access.
Right.
And they don't have, the equipment's not,
Yeah, you can't see things. Borshko is very, very heavily featured in the Al Gore event. You hear him and see him, and we want to thank you very much for coming out to that one, Borshko. That's the kind of community involvement that May Day symbolizes, and we put the call out. It was very short notice for both events, and Borshko was able to come. Some people were not able to come out, but would have wanted to normally. We're giving a little bit more advance notice for this one. This U.S. Army at the University of Toronto tomorrow around 11 a.m. Let's go out and take it to these villains and killers.
So it's just about a block or two north of College, east of St. George Street.
Right. And hopefully we won't be shunned by the other people that are there, where they think that we're that they don't want us there.
I think there'll be more sympathy since we're at a university or, you know, student environment.
I wonder whether we can get kicked off. Is that private property?
Yeah, we can get kicked off. They can ban you from the university.
Oh, yeah.
Which happened to me.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was about a couple of years ago.
And you're not allowed to go there ever again?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah, well, how do they know that?
They won't know probably unless they actually go up to you.
What did you do there? You seem to always be in some kind of trouble. What did you do there, Borsko? If you can talk about it on the air. I mean, I don't want to compromise you. We are speaking to maybe nobody, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was because they used the women's washroom.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody got upset about that.
All right. Okay.
They sent a car, and apparently, I went to the police or the campus police station and talked to them, and they said you're banned. So
You were using a women's washroom.
Yeah.
What were you doing in a women's washroom?
Well, it was I think it was peeing or.
You couldn't find a men's washroom or a tree.
Well, the women's washroom was closer.
I see.
But
yeah. Well, no, tree is no good either, evidently, around here. Well, it's okay for dogs, but
everything.
Yeah, it was in the wintertime, and you know what can happen, you know, your bladder and all that.
Yeah.
It's not going to freeze. You can be a real.
Well, anyway, so, and then they caught you.
You couldn't hold it in?
Well, they didn't catch me, but.
Did you feel a little bit awkward about doing that? I mean, I can understand that the call of nature.
I was nervous about it.
You couldn't hold it in?
Well, I mean, it's bad, but, you know, if you hold your urine and it's bad for your health.
Exactly.
Of course, but
exactly.
I mean, you know, you can hold it until you find a male washroom. What?
You risk peeing yourself.
Yeah, and it's bad in the winter.
Yeah, but
maybe, you know what, maybe, Daniel, can you re-edit the Gore event to take Borsko out of it completely? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
There was something I wanted to also add.
I think you may be throwing Molotov cocktails or something, but it ends up being found in a women's washroom.
Can I just say that in a few minutes we're going to be having the first Queen and Zynga report.
What's that mean?
From Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Queen and Zynga, the woman who was deported, who used
to do
things here at the station, who used to be involved with Sembradoras and so on? Anyway, Queen and Zynga is going to be doing her very, very first report from Costa Rica, and we're going to see how well she's taken some of our instructions about doing this report. and then if it doesn't meet our expectations, then we'll be doing it over the air. We'll be telling her, you know, we'll be sort of restructuring things on the air and giving her instructions so that the next week, I don't know how often it's going to happen, but that's up to Queen and Zynga, but maybe once a week, maybe once a month. I'd like to do it on some kind of regular basis, and she got in touch with me over MSN Messenger the other day and said, what about that report? And I go, hey, anytime you want to do it, anytime, offer's open. So that's going to be around 9:30 today. So
there's something else I wanted to add.
Yes.
On Wednesday, I was listening to CBC. I got bored and was looking for something else, and I ended up on CBC. And there was, I think, the broadcaster was named Alan Neal. He was doing a program, and at first I thought it was Daniel Bisharit on the air. And then I thought, you know, it sounded like him, you know. It couldn't be Daniel, because, you know, CBC would never hire Daniel to go on. You guys would be great for commercial radio. You got the personality and the character. I mean, I wouldn't go on air. You know, I wouldn't come across on air as you guys do. You know, you got. Outgoing personality, but you're missing that key ingredient, which is the proper ideology.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I know. We're missing that.
Don't worry, you can tune in at noon and you'll hear the proper ideology. just stick around until noon here on CKLN and you'll hear proper ideology. I'll guarantee you that. And by the way, I'm referring to the Radioactive Feminist show that comes up at noon. A bunch of CBC.
The crash is coming, this party. Come on.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Borsko. Okay, now I'm going to hit the button, and the light is still on.
I realize
I have to go like this.
I realize that we can't make subtle comments anymore on the air because no one gets them.
Okay.
We have to be pretty.
Okay. Now I was watching a program. We're on our May Day business here, and how anti-communism rules. Segueing from what Boschko said, we are indoctrinated with anti-communism at all times.
Of course.
And if it isn't on diplomatic immunity. On TVO,
it's on Saturday Morning Live with that anti-communist Norman Otis Richmond.
Yeah, yeah, he's
worse than McCarthy.
Hold on, where is it?
That's a joke.
I've got it here.
I gotta refer to my jokes as jokes.
No, I'm a social democrat. I want that on the record. I'm a social democrat, Swedish style.
There he is.
CKLN 88.1. You're on the air, I think. Aren't you? Hello.
What's that? Do you hear that sound?
I have no idea what's going on with these phones.
It doesn't even sound right. Gregory,
you have to patch
it through the XLR45Q. Then you have to put exactly 1 ampere through the system. And then when you reroute it through the unbalanced line, then through the transponder and the multiple delay system, then you push the green button followed by the yellow button 4 times, the system will work.
Thank you. I was watching BBC Kids. Now, the only reason that I have BBC Kids, we're going to try this again. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you know where the Fleming Building is?
Yeah, we know. Yeah, we've got that.
Okay. Synchronicity of events on Monday as well.
Yeah.
From Simon. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here. From Simon Fraser University at the Croft Chapter House, we have a lecture seminar on the politics and practices of state surveillance, censorship, and regulation. It might have something to do with the cosmic forces of helping God and omnipotent.
When is this, Liz?
And one more thing.
Yes.
Tuesday, International Health and the Cold War in Latin America, 1950s to 1960s, by that great international center called the Monk.
Oh, the Monk Institute. Oh, they're good. I like Janice Stein.
Yeah.
She's going to be on our show later,
if I can manage it. Wonderful. TVO connections and pseudo-intellectualism at the same time.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go into that a little bit later if I got time. Now, Liz, where is this item about the... Where's this lecture taking place about...
Which one?
Now I'm losing my voice.
Latin America or the surveillance?
Surveillance. Where's that happening?
Okay, the politics and practices of state surveillance, censorship, and regulation is Monday, 3 to 5 p.m.
Yes.
At the Croft Chapter House at University College.
All right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Liz. I have to get to something.
Yeah, you can't miss it. It's right part of the circle encompassing Hart House.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Down to Knox College and
Liz,
the Presbyterian stream of consciousness. And
Liz, I must go. I have to get to something just before 9:30. So thank you. And if you need to address any more, please call in later. Thank you. Now, as I said, we're indoctrinated with anti-communism, people who create programming to go against workers, essentially. And I happen to be watching BBC Kids because I tape a program for Daniel. I record a program for Daniel. I won't go into what it is. But I tape a program for him on a regular basis, and so I have this BBC Kids thing. Otherwise, I don't think there's anything on there. Yeah. I get that show for him. Now,
I am the master, and you will obey me.
Okay, now, so this is the first thing I heard on this program. I just tune in, and this is it.
Let's crash this communist party. Come on.
You're under arrest.
Now, this is a show called Big Wolf on Campus.
What?
And the whole... show, evidently. I came in halfway through. It was about what would happen if time were changed and the Soviets took over the United States.
Oh,
this is like one of those Red Scare movies Chuck Norris made during the 80s, only without the paper-thin villain spouting cliched commands.
Yeah, I know a lot of teenagers who speak like that.
It's capitalist pigs!
It's you! How'd you do it? I mean, by 1989, the Soviet Union was a shell of its former self. Republics were on the brink of rebellion. Military morale was at an all-time low.
But the Russian hockey players were on the way up.
Now, this is a program made in Canada.
Yep. Look at bright sights.
Now, listen to this. Here, the children get to hear the Soviet national anthem under these circumstances.
To my information, future Americans no longer disappointed by unsatisfying Star Wars prequel.
Well?
Send these rebels to Gulag. Enjoy your stay in Pleasant Grad.
Yeah, see, they've changed the Pleasantville to Pleasant Grad.
Lock them up forever!
Right then, something inside me snapped. And I wolfed.
Then he turns into a wolf.
Fools, you cannot beat Soviet regime.
Preserving the basic freedoms of a crazy little country.
Okay, now they've beaten this Soviet guy, and there's
like
Soviet flags.
Is this like a serial show?
It's a show. It's
is
a,
it
it's a series. No.
It's
a live action program made, I believe, in Montreal.
Yeah.
And it's called Big Wolf on Campus, and it's about a kid who turns into a werewolf under certain circumstances that I couldn't
and
figure out.
And has he moved in time or something, or is this like a
something,
dream?
Some time travel thing has happened, and they've got, like, the Soviet flags that we have, they have them here in the show. You see them there, too. They've gone to the store and got, you know, the $10 Soviet flag. The three stores on Spadina. I was thinking of getting the Vietnamese flag because this week is when they kicked those miserable Americans out of there finally. Got rid of the imperialists. And so I was thinking of getting a Vietnamese flag, and I don't know why I didn't, but you can go there and get them. I don't know whether they're open on Sundays, but there are three flag stores just below college on Spadina, and you can take your choice. They're all the same prices. Some of them have better selection than others.
Or go to your local Walmart and
but
pick
there are
up
no
a
Stalins.
Communist flag.
There are no Stalin flags, I found out. I've asked, or Lenin or Marx. I'm surprised at that.
Yeah.
But evidently for $50 you can get one made up in Taiwan.
Called the U.S. of A.
This is a Canadian show. This is a Canadian show.
Mao?
No.
Preserving the basic freedoms of a crazy little country called the U.S. of A. Now I ask you.
So that's freedoms that you get sent abroad to Iraq to take over a country and maybe die and kill people, definitely. To take oil for rich people like Cheney.
Do you know that America has no
Do
right
you
to
want
exist?
To live in a...
What?
Do you know that America has no right to exist as a country? America, the U.S. of A, has no right to exist as a country.
Mm-hmm.
So much for its right.
Country without the Constitution, without the Bill of Rights. Now let's go save America!
Not so fast, Yankee talk!
Former Soviet Union, you have seen... You don't throw a party. It's you.
That's a funny joke. It may kill in commie country, Boris, but it doesn't work in Pleasantville.
May work in commie country.
Why does it even sounds like a really horrible show, and I'm not even watching it.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't even want to watch it.
I may not have changed my own destiny, but at least we saved America. Or did we?
Did we beat the Russians? I don't know, Tommy. Do these trees look communist to you?
There you are.
Lori, where are we?
Well, what town? Is this Pleasant Grad?
Pleasant Grad? What's wrong with you guys?
Oh, Lori, we did. It was a... Oh! I guess that's the price of freedom.
Now, I know they're being facetious here, but, I mean, communist trees?
I'm completely confused by this show.
Well,
the clips make no sense to me.
Okay, well, it's just all about anti-communism and how great America is, and of course, it's a Canadian show.
Yeah, that's the most disturbing.
But
we did it. Everything was back to normal. Everyone was free to think what they wanted, wear what they wanted, and of course, say what they wanted. You gotta love freedom of speech.
America?
Yeah. You're free to say what you want.
Go tell that to those gun-toting
Jesus
lovers.
Wear what you want. I mean, this even goes back to my generation. You know, when I was in school, everybody seemed to be worried about whether the people in the Soviet Union could get jeans. Like, this was the
You've
biggest
thing. You've got to be kidding me.
No. This is the biggest thing they were worried about. It was like, you know what? They have to pay $160 for a pair of jeans. As if they were all walking around naked there, and they didn't have clothing. It was like to people in my generation, the thought that you couldn't get a pair of jeans. Now, I didn't own a pair of jeans, but the thought that you couldn't get a cheap pair of jeans was unthinkable, and that you couldn't be part of the fashion scene as seen in Western
society.
Well,
in all honesty, you can't. I mean, coming from you, you know.
No, I know. I'm not a fashion plate, but...
You have nothing to worry about Soviet domination if that...
No, I was right in,
you'd
I was
be
right
happy.
In line with...
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Now,
I don't care if the Soviets don't like that. I don't either.
Now, evidently, there's another...
Another TV show just like that?
No.
What's it called? CG for Kids?
Canadian Geographic.
Have
trouble.
You seen that yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
We have
I
it on,
I have,
we have it on
I
tape,
have,
right?
But,
we got to get into what that's all about.
What CG Kids is about?
Yeah. How one of their hosts is actually on CKLN.
Well, was. I don't know whether they are anymore.
We'll
okay,
report.
Now we're going to... Now, May 5th is going to be a busy day because I'm going to be appearing, moderating an event with William Upski Wimsatt May 5th at the Brigantine Room at Harborfront at 7 p.m., but this promo that we're going to go to right now demonstrates that there is another important event to go to, one much like the one tomorrow at the University of Toronto where we're fighting against the U.S. Army. Here we're fighting against something almost as bad, SNC-Lavalin.
Did you know that the U.S. military uses Canadian bullets in its brutal campaigns of war and occupation?
SNC-Lavalin is one of Canada's largest corporations, and its subsidiary, SNC Tech, has a contract with the U.S. military to manufacture some 300 to 500 million bullets for use in Iraq and Afghanistan. These bullets will surely kill and wound thousands of innocent people, and they are being made right outside of Montreal.
On Thursday, May the 5th, the shareholders of SNC-Lavalin will be meeting in Toronto. We must not let this meeting go unopposed. Join us on May the 5th at 10 a.m. outside of Metro Hall, 55 John Street West, to expose and confront this corporation and its shareholders for what they are, war profiteers.
Brought to you by the May 5th Organizing Committee. Email us at june30th@riseup.net.
Over the edge and back.
Over the edge and back.
The submachine gun carved this nation. Brass knuckles, the submachine gun.
Negative Land opens the Deep Wireless Festival May 1st, 8 p.m. at the Drake. Collage pioneers, genre defying. Negative Land brings their radio show to the stage. $25 at the door, $20 in advance. Go to Rotate This or deepwireless.ca for advance tickets. This rare live Toronto performance is produced by New Adventures in Sound Art and sponsored by The Drake Hotel, Now Magazine, ElectroCD.com, and CKLN 88.1 FM.
America, he said. America on a gun built on a gun. America was built. The gun was built on a gun.
Welcome back to the International Connection here on CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto. Missing that energy of Miss Barbara Fish. She wasn't in this morning, and therefore we didn't see her. Not that we see her every week, but last week was a big week where Miss Barbara Fish was here for 45 minutes. Now, we got an email from one of our listeners who just thought it was one of the best shows we ever did. So now he might be very disappointed today that... we don't have that rousing energy that Miss Barbara Frisch brings to a radio program. But now, one change on the website I wanted to tell you about was that, and it begins with that particular program, we made a little decision that we have an archive up on our website. And it you can go there and listen to old programs. Now, we've decided that we're thinking that maybe some of you are foregoing actually getting up early and listening to our program and just going to the archive and listening to little bits, cherry-picking through it. And so we've decided that we're going to hold back programs for 30 days now. So there's a countdown. Did you put that up yet, Daniel? You haven't had a chance. Daniel's been busy. Evidently, what's going to happen is there's going to be a countdown put up on the website. And for 30 days, when it expires, then we're going to put the show up and you'll be able to hear it.
So there'll be approximately 4 to 5 shows in countdown mode.
Right.
Until you get to see them.
Right, hear them.
So I got an answering service. I got
through and then go to the extension, and then it rang into it and I got answering service.
Yeah. So
I try again in maybe 10 minutes or something like that.
What?
Try again in 10
minutes. Yeah, try again. It sounds like a business, right? Because it says an extension number and...
No, it's an apartment building.
It is.
You get to an apartment complex, yeah. Then you phone the extension to get to apartment rooms.
Okay, how did I know this probably would be difficult?
Because last night was a really hot night.
Okay, no Queen and Zynga from Costa Rica this morning, okay? So we haven't been able to manage that through... Okay, no, but that doesn't slow this program down. We just keep barreling ahead. I wanted to mention... this is a Neil Bush update. This is from March 22nd, 2005.
This is more on those people that he doesn't know what their sex is before they enter his hotel rooms, which he might or might not have sex with.
Right. The ex-wife of President Bush's brother has settled a defamation lawsuit accusing her of spreading rumors that Neil Bush fathered a child with his mistress. The lawsuit against Sharon Bush, settled in State District Judge Randy Wilson's court, was filed by Robert Andrews, whose former wife, Maria, is now married to Neil Bush. Terms of the settlement were not available Monday. DNA tests, which were requested by Sharon Bush after the suit was filed in September 2003, confirmed that Neil Bush was not the father of Thomas Alexander Andrews, then three. Robert Andrews had originally requested a minimum $850,000 in damages, legal fees, a written public apology.
He's saying, Gregory.
A written public apology and a lien on all book advances or royalties. The lawsuit said Sharon Bush had suggested to reporters, friends, even fast food restaurant employees, that Neil Bush was the child's father. Sharon Bush denied spreading the rumors. During the Bush's contentious divorce, however, she testified that she had heard rumors that her husband had an affair with Maria Andrews and had fathered her son, despite the fact that Neil Bush wasn't quite sure what sex Maria Andrews was. No, that wasn't it. The Bushes had been married 23 years when they signed a mediated divorce agreement in April 2003. Andrews and ex-wife Maria had been married 14 years when they divorced in October 2002. Mm-hmm. Neil Bush and Maria Andrews met when she was working as a volunteer for former First Lady Barbara Bush. So Barbara Bush set them up. Isn't that nice?
She also keeps the wives at bay.
Military is to use color laser beams to warn off aircraft. The U.S. military will begin using an elaborate network of cameras and lasers next month to scan the skies over Washington and flash colored warning beams at aircraft that enter the nation's most restricted metropolitan airspace, according to civil and military aviation officials. About a dozen high-powered cameras at unidentified locations will be able to zoom in on an airplane anywhere in the restricted airspace, which covers a 30-mile radius around each of Washington area's three major airports. Red and green laser beams attached to the cameras will then warn the aircraft to leave the area. The new warning system will allow North American Aerospace Defense Command officials to scan the area from facilities thousands of miles away using radars and the infrared cameras with 360-degree capability. The Bushes, their income and taxes dropped. President Bush reported adjusted gross income of $784,219 for last year, on which he paid $207,000 in federal taxes, about $20,000 less than the previous year, according to the president's return released Friday by the White House. In 2003, the president and First Lady Laura Bush reported $822,126 in adjusted gross income and paid $227,490 in federal income taxes.
Good morning.
On their 2004 return, the Bushes listed as income his presidential salary, which is about $400,000.
That spending totals about $60 billion.
And investment income from trusts that hold their assets. The couple contributed $77,785, about 10% of their adjusted gross income, to churches and charitable organizations. Those included Evergreen Chapel at Camp David, St. John's Church
in Washington, the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army World Service Office, AmeriCares, an international relief organization, and the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation.
That spending totals about $60 billion.
They paid $22,158 in state property taxes in Crawford. Now, they also released, the White House released the 2004 tax return filed by Cheney and his wife Lynn. The report shows the Cheneys owe federal taxes of $393,518 on adjusted gross income of $1.7 million. Throughout last year, the Cheneys paid $290,000 in taxes, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
So there we go with the... Now, you know Andy Rooney from the 60 Minutes show, right?
Yeah.
He led a parade of celebrity witnesses who claimed that they were being stiffed by a speaker's bureau.
What's a speaker's
bureau? See, this is what happens when, like, I'm now in sort of a speaker's bureau, kind of, right? My first gig being a moderator of an event on May 5th at the Brigantine Room at Harborfront, William Upski Wimsatt, author of Bomb the Suburbs and so on. Well, Andy Rooney and people like Rex Murphy, I mean, this is what they live on. They go around
speaking.
Doing speaking engagements. So Andy Rooney began his testimony Monday this is from April 11th, by questioning the wording of the oath to tell the truth. The CBS newsman later got a lecture from the judge for trying to interrogate a lawyer while on the witness stand. "No, no, no, Mr. Rooney," said Federal Judge Colleen McMahon, her head in her hands. "The first rule is the witness never gets to ask any questions, even if he's a journalist." Rooney was the first witness.
What an ego on that one.
In the fraud trial. You're gonna like him a bit better by the end of this.
Yeah.
Rooney was the first witness in the fraud trial of Alan Walker, 67, who ran the Program Corp of America, a firm that matched speakers with events. Rooney testified Walker owes him about $10,000 from a speech in 2003 at Indiana State University.
$10,000.
Other witnesses in the trial are former basketball star Magic Johnson, retired astronaut Scott Carpenter, and Robert Ballard, the undersea explorer who found the wreck of the Titanic. I was a bit worried there. I thought I was going to say Robert Ballantyne. But Rooney, 86, entered the courtroom muttering. And he balked when asked to swear to tell nothing, quote, "nothing but the truth, so help you God." Quoting Rooney, "I don't know about God," he said, taking the witness chair. Rooney said he signed a contract with Walker for $20,000 plus expenses.
Mm.
"I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, but they seem to like it," he said. He said when he wasn't paid, he made several calls. "He was always in the Middle East or someplace." Then complained to the Better Business Bureau. He said he sent back an unacceptable check for $2,500. I don't know what made it unacceptable. But Rooney testified... I guess it wasn't enough.
The check wasn't the right color.
Right. Rooney testified he began to think the episode might make a piece for me at 60 Minutes. And took a camera crew to Walker's office and home, but didn't find him. When defense lawyer Kerry Lawrence asked Rooney how he found Walker's address, Rooney said he didn't remember, but as an old reporter, we have a few secrets. And the first thing is, we try the phone book. Afterwards, Rooney said he got a check for $10,000. So, no, tomorrow is not a holiday. Thingbad is asking me whether tomorrow is a holiday. No, not in Canada, although today is May Day. They've in North America, they've usurped that from us. They've moved it to where they wanted it, which was Labor Day.
Yeah.
By the co-opted labor unions, mainly. So,
I mean, even CKLN co-opted it by not focusing on May Day, but rather focusing that April 30th was the last day to buy a brick.
Right? Oh, that's true. I never thought about
that.
It is the last day to buy a brick.
No, it was yesterday.
No, they may have extended it, Daniel.
Again?
Maybe.
It's the fifth time they've extended it.
So, we heard earlier, before we went to commercials, in these little
bite me.
Stories that I have.
Bite me. Bite me.
Okay. Just to recap here, we've got www.axisofevilradio.com. If you wish to come on to the Comrades Community Chat Portal,
That's CCCP. You go to our website. The instructions are clear. You can come and join Dinger, Ramon Sim, and Thingbad. They are with us. We have three people with us today. Let's see if they've said anything particularly interesting. People want to find... people want to find pictures of Miss Barbara Fish. Did you go to BlueManBoycott.com, Daniel?
No.
Did you try it? Can you try that? Instead of playing the Daniel Vandervoort clips, can you just...
Yeah, but it's not fun doing it.
We lost Sinov Stalin had joined at one point, but we missed. Okay, we have a call. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to make a little contribution to your show.
Thank you.
Every week, and I think you're brilliant. One little piece of brilliance that I saw in the paper I thought I'd bring to your attention. I was looking in the Globe and Mail sometime this week, and they were talking about the... George Bush and the Saudi prince or king or whatever he was.
Well, they were holding hands.
Yeah, holding hands. And then a reader wrote into their editorial section and wondered if this makes Mr. Bush a petrosexual. It's really funny.
That's very good.
I thought of you guys and thought you should have that.
Thank you. Thanks very much for that.
Very well.
Bye-bye. A petrosexual. Yeah. Yeah, he's holding his hand. Yeah. Oh, before I get on with this, I thought I'd do Daniel. Are you? He's trying the call again. We'll save the poetry corner for later. Now we heard the clips from Big Wolf on Campus or something that show this show that had an anti-communist bent to it. Now, that's for children, evidently. Now, for people who are also children in adulthood but want to pretend that they're involved with serious issues, where is your destination point? Is it here? Well, some people may say that. But I say go to TVO on Sunday afternoons to Diplomatic Immunity. This is where a bunch of some people who should not be teaching young people in this country... at university level, that's where they gather and pretend that they're intellectuals and spout inane ideas. And this last week, I think, I got it on tape, was Paikin, Steve Paikin, the appalling host of Studio 2 and of Diplomatic Immunity, who is inexplicably there, who... You're going to just see what a moron this guy is. Paikin got to speak with Gorbachev when he was here at the same event that we went and protested Gorbachev or whatever his name is. I like to mispronounce the names of people that I don't like. And here's Paikin lauding Gorbachev because, you know, we all love him here because of glasnost and perestroika. You know, I think I might have to interrupt this. Daniel, do we have the queen?
She just woke up.
Oh.
I just woke her up, so she said, "Give me 5 minutes." So you can, I guess, at maybe around 55 or something.
Okay,
can.
She just woke up.
We can.
It is earlier there. I think it's a couple of hours earlier.
No, it's not.
Yes,
where
it is.
Where is it?
It's in Mountain Time because I don't think they change their clocks there, and then they're an hour behind. So. Mm. So it is a little bit on the early side.
I heard you talking about the deadbeats on Diplomatic Immunity.
Yeah. Here's fake.
Earlier this week, we had the privilege of sitting down with Mikhail Gorbachev during his brief stay in Toronto. Mm. During our 45-minute visit, he was funny, he was charming, he was intelligent. The same qualities he brought to the Kremlin 20 years ago.
Now, the amazing thing about this program, and I watched it was a half-an-hour program, because this was Diplomatic Immunity.
That's the host, Steve Paikin.
That was Paikin.
Dumb, an idiot, a moron, and generally all-around stupid.
And now, Paikin... Do I still have somebody on the line? I don't. There's something terribly wrong with these phones.
Yeah, I saw it still lit out there.
Now, at no time during the half-hour program I saw did I see Gorbachev be witty or charming or anything, or intelligent. I didn't hear anything intelligent that he said.
Because what Paikin doesn't tell you is that he speaks perfect and fluent Russian, and so he's able to tell every word that Gorbachev is talking about.
Yeah, and the intonations.
Exactly. Yeah.
With his policies of glasnost and perestroika, openness and restructuring, Mikhail Gorbachev tried to transform the ailing Soviet Union.
So perestroika was restructuring. That means getting rid of communism.
It didn't exactly work out as planned.
No, Steve, you're wrong about that. I have it here in black and white, and you can go and read it on our website. He planned this with his wretched wife, who liked to wear furs, lived the high life.
Is she dead?
She's dead.
Good.
Good riddance. Now we got Gorbachev. Gotta get rid of him.
Internal rot and external pressures conspired to bring the Soviet Empire
Listen
down.
To this.
Internal rot and external pressures.
Internal rot. I think it was a lot of rotten people on the outside that did this.
I think Gorbachev will like this. Dear God, please strike cancer into Gorbachev. Thank you.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah, he likes the Pope.
He likes the Pope, so amen, God.
Yeah, he thinks he's a great guy.
Inspired to bring the Soviet Empire down in 1991.
Many people think...
This is a translation of Gorbachev. They showed little excerpts in this diplomatic immunity program of the 45-minute bit with Gorbachev, which I do not have. If anybody has that... I mean, I'm not so sure I'm so interested.
No.
Having seen these excerpts, if this was the best they could pull from it, it must have been an incredibly boring 45 minutes.
That it was because of perestroika that Gorbachev broke up the country.
Is he referring to himself as the third person?
Interruption of perestroika. That was the first step toward the breakup.
Yeah, it was the interruption of the restructuring. It could have been there could have been more mafia influence than there is now.
What a traitor.
People wanted freedom.
Here it is, this miserable spouting of people want freedom. What does it mean? What does freedom mean? For some, freedom means the ability to do what you want to do creatively, perhaps, in the arts. For some people, freedom means the ability to go and exploit people. For some people, it means the freedom to go and take over another country. And usurp other people's labor.
Well, it's obvious what he means. He means that he wants the fox hunts to occur so his wife can have new fox fur jackets.
Yeah.
That's what give them happiness. People were waiting for happiness.
There is no... you know, what little happiness you can glean out of this life, you have to work hard for it.
Yeah.
They sometimes even go beyond democratic procedures and just break things.
Yeah, they go beyond democratic procedures. They so desperately need freedom.
Joining us this week on DI, Pyotr Vrubel, who teaches in the Department of History at the University of Toronto.
What a crew. What a crew they've got.
What did he say? No.
Sergei Plekhanov, coordinator.
This guy, the first one, this Pyotr Warble or whatever his name is, he was a real bastard. And what did he teach? Let's listen. What did he teach?
Joining us this week on DI, Pyotr Vrubel, who teaches in the Department of History at the University of Toronto.
Okay, so he's in the Department of History.
So Department of History, we've got Pyotr Rubble.
Yeah, Putrid Rubble.
Putrid Rubble.
Oh, you should see how he's very well coiffed. He's got his he's a Pole, right? He's a Pole. And they've got an anti-communist in there, definitely, right? Probably Catholic and anti-communist. So you're going to hear some really great stuff from him.
Gabe Plekhanov, coordinator of the Post-Communist Studies Program at York University and a former advisor to Mr. Gorbachev.
Oh, that's how you get a job. You see, you get a nice cushy job at the university.
And on the other side of the table...
He's nowhere near as bad as Putrid Rubble.
Richard Gwynne of the Toronto Star.
Yeah.
And Janice...
Gwynne is so compromised. He's of one mind, then of another.
Really?
You know, he's going anti-communist, and then he's saying, "Hey, why aren't you saying things about Why aren't you saying bad things about the America?"
I can't make up my mind. It's kind of like the medication I'm on. It's red one day and green the next.
I just lost.
What did you just lose? Oh, do you want to try the Queen?
Should I? I just.
Oh, quickly, we can do it for five
minutes. Oh, no, I got it. No, I'm going to carry on.
Okay, go ahead.
Stein from the Monk Center for International Studies.
So Janice Stein's
Hello.
There.
Hello.
So welcome back to you three.
And you know what? It's explained why she looks so ugly. It is explained in this piece. So get ready for an explanation why Janice Stein is so offensive looking.
Piotr, for the first time, welcome
She's a
to
capitalist.
TDL. Several
countries. Yeah, almost. It's close, but they actually explain it. Putrid Rubble explains.
Yeah.
Unto the Pope said that he believed the KGB was behind the attempt on his life in 1981. Zbigniew Brzezinski was asked, the former American National Security Advisor, I think so, he said. I think there's enough evidence to suggest that there was a complicated trail establishing distance between the KGB and the actual perpetrator through these Germans to the Bulgarians to the right-wing Turks so that there would be real deniability. We asked Mr. Gorbachev about this in our interview earlier this week, and here's what he had to say about it.
Well,
do you know, I'm missing a bit that I thought I pulled.
What, the part where they say bad things about Janice Stein?
No, they were talking, Paikin was talking about the history of the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And he mentions the 22-year period between 1979 and 2001 and he repeats 22. For all of you Club 22 fans out there, he starts going over the history, and for a guy that is following Zbigniew Brzezinski, everything that Zbigniew Brzezinski says, and I think he's interviewed Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Sure.
Zbigniew Brzezinski has admitted that they worked hard to ensnare the Soviet Union, to make conditions so appalling
to get into a conflict
on that southern border of theirs with Afghanistan to turn it into such a hellhole that they were forced to come in, to lure them in. Paikin, such a big fan of Brzezinski, ignores that admission that Brzezinski finally made,
yeah,
that he was the architect of the fall of the Soviet Union by luring them in to Afghanistan. He completely ignores that and delivers if you're a big Brzezinski fan, a completely false sense of history right off the bat. His whole opening salvo is...
They should rename the show to Paikin Revisionist Immunity.
Well, I looked into it, and I have really no idea. I was never able to establish any connection. I don't think that the KGB people were so stupid as to try and do this, to try to assassinate the Pope, the person who represented 1 billion Roman Catholics in the world, and given his position as a human being, as a humanist, he represented more, and he was respected
humanist
by billions of people. But so far as my own research into this is concerned, I don't think that the KGB was involved.
Okay, now I'm just going to go back here because I do have that clip of Paikin talking about Afghanistan. Here it is.
December 1979 to November 2001.
It was on another program. He did a show with another guy the previous week, and he started talking about this. It was, I think, unrelated to the Gorbachev show.
22 years of history that are essential to our understanding the world in which we now find ourselves.
Like, here's Paikin telling us about understanding the world that we live in, and listen to what he says. He's got it completely wrong.
December 1979, soldiers from the USSR cross into Afghanistan. A rebellion by members of the country's traditional Muslim population had destabilized a pro-Soviet Afghan regime. Within days, some 40,000 Soviet troops entered the country in an apparent attempt to crush the Muslim rebels.
Now, the Muslim rebels, according to Paikin here, they're not supported yet by the Americans, right? They're doing it all on their own.
Within 6 months, the number rose to 80,000. Fearing that the Soviets were using the rebellion as a pretext for territorial expansion towards the Indian Ocean, the United States organized resistance to the Soviet takeover.
So instead of... Brzezinski has sat in a room and probably told Paikin that he organized this. And yet Paikin has the nerve to go on television on this educational station that is a credit. It's a credit at a university. You get a credit for learning from this jerk. Watching this stupid program.
What a moron.
Yeah, this is the kind of education they want in this country, where you're fed disinformation by a moron. I want this guy on this show. If anybody knows this idiot Paikin, I challenge him to come on this program.
No, he won't do it.
No, he wouldn't do that. He's scared of us.
Of course he is. He's as fearful of us.
Him and Dan Dunsky.
Well, his producer.
Yeah.
...of Afghanistan.
Over the next 10 years, the United States, Pakistan, and Saudi Arabia worked ceaselessly to turn Afghanistan,
the American puppet states,
stand into the Soviet
Benazir Bhutto,
its version of Vietnam.
Yeah, our everybody lauded her. Oh, she's a woman head of state. Yeah, a woman head of state that was working with the United States government to move arms in and funnel them to the Mujahideen to kill Soviet soldiers. And of course, they always have to give an incentive to the Mujahideen, to anybody they're working with. They always have to, they can't give them the money. They don't like welfare. The Americans don't like welfare, right? So they go, we'll give you some money, but you've got to supplement it. Maybe with, drug running?
Opium?
You know, maybe you could funnel some drugs through and get involved in the opium trade. How's that?
We've got some dead American soldiers you can stuff drugs into.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's try that on for a change.
Yeah, Steve doesn't mention that. No drugs mentioned at all. No idea that this was a major drug producing area and that the pro Soviet administration in Afghanistan went about trying to break down the opium production. In fact, I think that was a big reason why the Soviet Union went in there. They were frightened that there was going to be a massive amount of opium production there that would start seeping in through all of these republics inside of the Soviet Union and start to decay them from within with drugs.
Aren't there statistics now that Afghanistan is to record heights in opium production, not even seen under the Taliban?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and the Taliban got rid of it completely. They managed to destroy it.
Most of it.
The prevailing majority of populations were delivered, were born and grown in the war period. And they know only one business. How to take machine gun, how to take Kalashnikov, and how to kill somebody.
It was this Cold War strategy that created and nurtured the Mujahideen, who hastened the Soviet withdrawal. But it also led to Afghanistan's civil war and the rise of the Taliban.
No.
And to a belief among the Mujahideen that if they could defeat one superpower, they could defeat another.
This administration in Afghanistan at the time, which incidentally, even though the Soviet Union pulled out, it still took a while to get rid of that government in the communist government in Afghanistan that was mainly centered in Kabul. Even though these nasty Taliban group were bombing them from outside of the city. They were lobbing missiles in and killing people, and full-scale war really on Kabul, organized, of course, by the United States of America, funded by the United States of America. This was a government that believed in women's rights, in education for women, and so on, things that the Taliban don't believe in. And
they had to be destroyed for that.
And they had to be destroyed. And they murdered the Mujahideen. Eventually, murdered the president, the very progressive president of Afghanistan. A real tragedy, really. And wonders. Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
That Jimmy Carter is president at this time.
Yeah,
Jimmy Carter, yeah. This guy who today every progressive loves to tout him as one of the best former presidents America has ever had. No. This is a man who, during his administration, these crimes were being committed. Massive atrocity. Destruction of a country.
Now, there's a woman...
So much for the Democrats.
There's a woman who used to be here that in this country who came from another land.
Margaret Thatcher.
No. Came from another land and was trying to free the minds of the former slaves in this country.
Cleo?
No. And her name is Queen Nzinga. And she is on the line with us right now, live from Costa Rica. Queen Nzinga, are you there?
Bless you guys. How are you doing?
We're fine. Now, you evidently, have you your report from Costa Rica ready for us?
Well, the way I'm going to do it is, as I do it always, as in form of a poem.
Okay.
Good.
And
hold on. That's a double poem.
Most of the problems that are going on here today, so hope you like this. This is called No Paradise.
Hold on, just before you do that, we have a, seeing as you're doing poetry, we do have a poetry theme, so Daniel, please, go ahead.
And now for the poetic part of our show, we present Bullwinkle's poem.
Greetings, culture crowd. I translate.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm tired of this narrow-minded shit. How long can we continue living like this? Salaries are low while inflation goes high and flies in the sky. corrupted politicians and the clergy lay in the same bed, feasting of the citizens' bread, blinding the people from discontent with three Hail Marys and some sucker games. Tons of cocaine leave our ports every day. Limon is a freeway of traffic to the USA, and there's nothing no one can save. We want to stay alive. How long can we tolerate this lie? Ecotourism they promote while destroying our forests to build golf courts that we ourselves cannot afford to join. We might as well just flip the coin to see who's first to spread the loin to be the servile slave of colonialism and join the blind masses. Contrary to what you may believe, colonialism is not going to die of natural causes. Colonialism must be killed. Colonialism must be murdered. Colonialism must be burned down to the ground so that meaningful freedom can be born. Third world liberation will come, but real liberation of the mind and of the soul, freedom in the body and in heart, but the real kind of freedom, the kind that includes all. I'm tired of this mind-constricting shit, letting people address me as negra, not because I'm A-okay with it, just because I'm tired of arguing about it. Mm-hmm. Black women degraded and as brainless hoes, our men glamorized as big dick studs, the miseducation in which we feed make us play along, thinking it's love and affection that we feel, thinking it's for real. But how is it now we fail to see that when they said blame the nigga, now they said blame the nika, Nicaraguan that is, and we believe that shit. But when there's no more nikas, there will still be niggas, and we will continue eating shit. Have we thought about it? While Limon, the community that our foreparents built, is destroyed and goes to shit, we meekly sit, feeling hopeless, we take the first trip to take us out of this godforsaken pit. At what expense? Lose your accent, no hables inglés. Straighten your hair to look your best, or better yet, try to look as white as you can. And thrive 10 times harder than your Spanish counterpart to get the same paycheck, a car, and a house with a picket fence. Mm. But when opportunities don't come your way, don't blame it on the racist system. Blame it on your own ways, because being black and proud is not acceptable these days. Mm. Oh, wait. It never was. Latinos lack anti-oppression education. Try to tell me that racism is out of the question. Well, how dare they say that? Have they asked me if I feel racism? Have they asked any African descendants of those who worked the fields without as slaves or built the railroads in apartheid with no pay? Have they asked any Nicaraguans that harvest coffee or wash banana and or work maquilas for less than minimum wage? Have they asked any of the natives whose lands this corrupt government has given to the USA, not caring if the Plan Puebla Panama disappears them into oblivion? Now, who made these decisions? Because neither the Chinese, nor the natives, nor the Nicaraguans, nor us black people reap benefits from it. So, who made this decision? This narrow-minded bullshit continues to ruin our country. Paña people live in a fantasy thinking that they're white, while the white man molds Costa Rica into his very own playground. Now we cry, que vida más cruel. Now Costa Rica is what Cuba would have been without Fidel. No military repression, you say, but there's no police protection, just police brutality. Well, isn't that the same? I agree with you if you say that it's not the same. I think it's worse. Public institutions involved in money laundering, public mayhem and murder, while we sit back pondering, praying to La Negrita to save us from it all. Such an oxymoron doesn't seem to be wise. Sex tourism and child prostitution is on the rise. Casinos and pedophiles abound like beans and rice, and it's time for us to open our minds and open our hearts and free our minds to the truth and stop lying to the youth. Is this what paradise looks like to you? Well, yes, it's paradise for the white man, but hell for us. Paradise for the white man, but hell for us. Paradise for the white man, but hell for us. Paradise for the white man. People forced to sell their land. Who benefits from it if it's not the white man? I see no one questioning that, and why is that? I see no freedom in living like this. We're brainwashed to put up with this shit. All figueres said we're domesticated, but he himself was even a thief. Working so hard to hide the grief, bastardized notions of libertad, not even close to la realidad, not questioning que no hay igualdad. assuming that what the government-controlled media says is la verdad, abre sus ojos to la realidad. Pretty soon we won't have the right to complain about racism or oppression of the people. We won't have the right to think, period, because each period we elect corrupt politicians to do the thinking for us, compromise our principles and allow them to forget about us. The end of the world is coming, but it's the end of the world as we know it if we do nothing to stop it and continue with this narrow-minded shit. Well, excuse me, Mr. White Man. Regardless of your propaganda, everyone in Costa Rica will agree that this here is no paradise for we. And we are sick and tired of tolerating your mind-constricting bullshit. This, Dan, Greg.
Thank you, Queen and Zynga, for that. And,
Greg, do your poem. You want to finish off poetry?
Oh, yeah, I've got Poetry Corner. This is from one of our local people.
Go ahead.
And it's called One Less Devil Philosopher. His kingdom wails. On his last days, his mouth shut up, silenced, no more lies to be told, and all the while they wait, while his organs are laid bare to waste. Just as his days to be fully disintegrated before his last breath. Whew. Oh, to be no longer is, yea, he left without shade, laying waste due to his own blunderings, his right wing in flames, his capital for the spoil, his racist system is his boil now. One less devil philosopher. A dope? Oh no, I mean the Pope. Hypo-scripted, 1 billion dumbed numbed. That is by a listener, Marcia Anderson. Mind is to time. And that has been the Queen and Zynga Report and Poetry Corner, all meshed together.
Oh, did you do her report as well?
I think you have done the report, haven't you, Queen and Zynga?
Yes.
That is your report. That is your report. Am I correct?
I think the poem brings in all the information about a lot of information about what's happening here. Now, if you have any questions, I'll be about it. I will be more than glad to explain to you why.
Well,
Greg,
I think we'll
Dan.
Then do Greg Dan. Greg Dan. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Good. Never
confused.
I don't know.
Megan Dan.
That's good. Okay, Queen and Zynga, thank you for your report. We're going to move on with the program now. We'll look forward. When might we hear from you again?
I would think next Sunday.
Next Sunday. Very good.
Did we wake you up this morning?
Yes, you did. Don't worry about it. My fault.
What time is it right there, right now?
It is 8:26.
8:26.
10:26. Where are you at?
It's 10:13 where we are.
8:13. So.
Okay, so 8:13. Yeah. So it's 2 hours earlier. Okay. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you,
too.
And May Day. Any May Day celebrations down there happening?
Any May Day celebrations at this moment? There isn't. The new Pope and the soccer games. That's all there is.
Oh, that's all they're interested
yesterday.
In. Huh? Oh, you have to
but
go
in reality. I mean. As I said, it's like a lot of diversion from what the really the real conditions of the country are.
Yeah.
So people don't complain about the things that are happening around, but there's a lot of garbage happening that I'm hoping to be able to report in the next few days.
Okay. Very good. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week. That was Queen and Zynga live from Costa Rica, our first international connection correspondent. Thank you, Queen.
You know, I can hear you type on that keyboard through the microphone.
I'm sorry.
It's too loud. They got to get either a more silent keyboard or a microphone that doesn't play.
CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to make Queen Lazinka the caller of the day.
Thank you, Andy.
And if there are any questions in the audience, I'll take them. Taken.
Thank you.
Taken.
Thank you, Andy.
Is it Stephen Taken?
Steve Taken, yes.
Steve Taken. Yeah, a short guy with a tall appearance.
Is he short?
No, he's tall.
He's a tall guy with a short appearance.
Oh, right, yeah.
He's a tall guy with a short appearance.
Oh, okay.
There should be no confusion.
This is TV Ontario, Channel 19.
That guy goes on TV Ontario and just makes a mockery of television, for God's sakes. It is just a pain to watch the man. His jaw is too big for TV. It's very Jay Leno-ish in dimensions. Check his jaw when it's in action. His jaw looks like Lake Superior on the globe. It's a pain.
You know what Steve Pagan reminds me of? Steve Pagan reminds me of a guy that wanted to go like into journalism school to do like the right thing. He wanted to go and be like a real balanced reporter, a real, you know, lots of insight. He's going to change the world through his reporting.
Pagan?
Yeah, Pagan.
Pagan? Yeah, is it Steven? Are you from Canada? TVO?
This is TV Ontario, Channel 19 in Toronto, Channel 13 in Huntsville.
Well, if you got a question, why don't you stand and let us hear it?
Oh, you
are standing. Oh, okay. Now,
don't you dare miss it.
Absolutely, coming out of the basement.
Now, phone. There's a sound we love to hear, folks. It's a sound of a phone. It's a sound of life.
Yes, you've been in the basement.
This station will be working next year in a new location, and they have to come out of this basement. They've been in this basement for far too long.
Absolutely.
It's time to come out of the basement.
I've seen the copper top building you guys are going into. I like the copper top look to it. It looks very nice. It looks like a kitchen store, you know, a copper top finish.
Still no idea when we're going to be in there.
Unbelievable. You know, I want to get down there and get the construction workers are the fellows who really know what's going on. You know, I got to get into the ear of one of them fellows and find out what is going on.
Well, it isn't really a problem with the build. Well, it is. It's sort of internally in the building. And I don't know. Daniel and I have a pool. I think... It'll be
after Labor Day or before Labor Day.
Actually,
I'm getting a lot of bets on after Labor Day.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm beginning.
What happens in the summer is a lot of people go up. The workers slow down. A lot of vacations kick in, and it generally puts things backwards. Your good, honest to goodness work gets done in the winter months when fellas bear down and get busy. But as the good weather comes, vacations kick in, and there's going to be a strike along with the drywallers will screw up everything in the end. It's always the drywallers, you know. But
well, let's hope they just take the day off, May Day, which is our day.
Yes, and I want to compliment you, fellas, because you've had a theme for the last two Sundays here where you've had strong women on the radio. Last week, of course, the musical guest, Miss Barbara Fish.
Yes.
And today, I mean, Mighty Queen with her Costa Rica report, just compelling radio. And I appreciate both those women getting up this early hour, especially the Mighty Queen to get out of bed and...
It's mountain time down there.
Absolutely, And hats off to the Mighty Queen, and we'll look forward to hearing from her perhaps next week.
Well, thank you, Andrew.
That's all for now.
Thank you.
And, Bacon, do you have a question? All right, then sit back down.
Thank you.
Miss Barbara Fish, out of here.
Now, Ramon Sim on the Comrade Community Chat Portal, CCCP, he says, don't you think you're going to alienate your listeners by delaying a timely archive? Daniel, what is your response to that?
So he's one of the people that doesn't listen to the show as it goes on? I don't know. I mean, you know, people are alienated by anything that you do on the air.
Right.
I can do anything.
I mean, we've got a lot of shows up there. If you really need to hear the show, and we sometimes put up programs. I mean,
that are old.
Have you heard the Pope Show, the old Pope Show from 3 years ago?
It's like 6 hours long.
It's worth listening to. Yeah. They're old shows up there you can go and listen to. When Daniel and I were young. Are there financial reasons? There are no financial reasons. Are there financial reasons, Daniel? There's no financial reasons at all. There's no...
Are we being interrogated here on the air by a chatter?
No, I don't.
You got to get off that chat, Greg.
I know. That's the CCCP, if you want to go there, in the waning moments of the program. I hear a crew outside. I believe the Sembradores crew is outside. CKLN 88.1, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Tom.
Hello, Tom.
I would like to give you some good news coming out of Latin America.
Okay, very good.
Condoleezza Rice just completed her trip to these different nations, including Brazil, Ecuador, and so on, to drum up support for the demonization of Chavez in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
It was a complete failure.
Good.
The reason it was a failure is because she couldn't get even Colombia to agree to condemn Chavez for purchasing arms to arm his people and arm his military forces in the event of a U.S. attack. Another good piece of news, he announced recently, the Venezuelan government announced recently, that they are going to set up a Telesur, that is a television network covering the whole of Latin America in cooperation with other South American government. It will be the Al Jazeera of South America.
Wow.
And it's a fantastic news because Bush is not going to be happy about this.
Very good. So Chavez is involved in that.
The World Social Forum is scheduled to take place in Caracas next year, where thousands and thousands of Latin Americans and Canadians Americans will be going there to see firsthand what's happening in Venezuela.
We're hoping to be sponsored to go there. We're hoping that Daniel and I will some sponsor out there will sponsor us to the World Social Forum. Right, Daniel?
Absolutely.
When is that?
I should try and make a good effort to go there because it's going to be a very good development for the people of the world. Not
Adrian.
Only just Latin America, but also Canadians, Americans, and Europeans.
Adrian Harewood went there this year. Because I heard we'll go down there with our Soviet hats and flags
out.
And we'd probably get thrown out of there. They'd say it was private property, get rid of us. That's usually what we do. I should say, speaking of private property, tomorrow, May 2nd, somewhere around between 10 and noon, there's going to be a demonstration at the University of Toronto because at the Sanford Fleming Building. 1105, something or other. And the U.S. Army is coming to co-opt the University of Toronto even more than probably it's co-opted already. So to develop new technologies that are going to enhance our life and kill people around the world. So they're going to be here, and the international connection, that means Daniel and me and maybe Borshko and anybody else that wants to show up are going to be there, and you'll know that it's us because we've got gigantic red flags.
Are you going to put this on your website?
Well, if we... we will. We've got the Gorbachev and the Al Gore stuff is up there if you want to go and watch us taking it to the men, and to Tipper. You can go online and see that in video form.
Unfortunately, I have to work. I won't be able to make it, but I would definitely want to check out to see what you guys...
We will make every effort to do that and bring it to you visually. See... I mean, Raman Sim on the Comrade Community Chat Portal, the CCCP, is saying, you know, are you going to worry that you're denying your audience a timely archive? Well, I mean, they're going to get it. They'll hear it. And, but, I mean, look at what we're giving the audience. We've got video. I mean, how many shows give video and pictures of what they're doing on CKLN? How many shows do that?
CKLN.
I mean, only Reggae Mania and what photographs those are. But, we're giving incredible stuff out there to the audience, I think. I mean, you can even see video of Daniel photographing Funfest stuff and Ron Anisich. We never talked about it. Is that up there?
Yeah, the rare video. Stuff?
Oh, and this week we should have up there my special Super 8mm movie film.
With commentary.
With commentary by Crystalline Krauss. And me
from
the Summit of the Americas from 4 years ago when we went up there. So you'll see me involved in a very, very intense demonstration where I'm right up there between rubber bullet shooting and tear gas firing police and protesters that are throwing rocks and pieces of the expressway at the police. So, and I'm right in the middle of it. And there's helicopters above. It's amazing footage. And we should have that up by the middle of the week. So, we're really providing stuff. We're just holding back the archives now because we want to have people encouraged. If they want to have a timely archive, there's no better timely archive than arriving here at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday, either by the International Connection or CKLN web stream, or by turning on your radio. There's a couple of ways to do it, and then within 30 days, that's our plan right now, to have a show up, the archive show up there.
I think your popularity is going to grow by leaps and bounds.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah, we'll go from zero and then we'll square that.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing that piece about the Quebec, because I was there in the big demonstrations in Quebec City.
Yeah, well, we were right up there on Côte d'Abraham, where it was a Saturday, April 21st.
Right.
And it's amazing, really pretty amazing footage. And I think I was the only person actually shooting Super 8 there. This is real emulsion you're going to watch.
Fantastic.
On the screen.
Someone's
is somebody at the door?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Oh,
Yes, so that was Adam, and now what's CKLN 88.1? You're on the air.
Greg.
Yeah, Bob.
I just want to start a new tradition. I'm pronouncing Andy's call last week as the best call from Andy for the month.
Bob, I wanted to ask you a question. I was listening to an old International Connection, actually an old Church of the Subgenius show.
Right. Mine.
Yeah. Yours. Oh, you were talking about your job becoming your hobby and your hobby becoming your job.
Mine. Yeah, that was McLuhan's line back in the 60s.
Yeah.
What about it?
I guess that's what we're doing, isn't it?
Well, everybody's forced to do that.
Yeah.
The main point to remember
is
the Operation Mind Control series, you know, 55 shows or something.
48.
The person he didn't interview, which would have been the most important person, was Walter Bowert.
Did you hear how he did 55? If you switch, if you reverse.
Back in 1968, when he went to the family reunion in the summer of 68.
That's silly.
The accountant for the family said, and that this is, we're talking,
Bob,
you know, 300 people.
Bob's in New York, right?
Big family. Yeah. Richard Mellon Scaife is the one who funded all the so-called right-wing conspiracy, to quote Hillary Clinton.
Loud,
his accountant said in 1968 that we are going to put Nixon in office, create a depression, and make working a privilege.
They were forced to
turn their job into a hobby and their hobby into a role.
Did you know that Ben Stein of Win Ben Stein's Money, the actor who was in Ferris Bueller, did you know that he wrote speeches for
Nixon.
Gerald Ford and Nixon?
Yes, I did know that.
Bob, I've got one for you here.
For
heaven's sake, I've got something.
The first question I got is, why isn't last week's show on the archives? Is Daniel moving or something at any time?
The reason that last week's archive is not online is because we have decided that we are going to delay the archive for 30 days. That's our position right now. So we want people to tune in and listen, like you've been listening maybe this morning, Bob.
No, I haven't. I just got up.
In 30 days,
hoping to catch up.
In 30 days, you'll I know you're a very common listener. You come to the site quite often.
Yes.
But
does it give my code?
Did I give you a quote? Bob, I wanted to, before we leave today, I wanted to play this.
They thought we had it fixed 20 years or 22 years ago for 75 years, and here we are 22 years later after the fix talking about it again.
And here's another one, Bob.
December 1979 to November 2001. 22 years of history that are essential to our understanding the world in which we now find ourselves.
There's our Club 22 for you, Bob, this morning.
I found a good one this week, Greg. I was reading the history of the Situations International and Guy Debord, and Guy Debord was one of the main provocateur that caused the riots in Paris, France, in the May 68, the famous student riots, and almost revolution against De Gaulle. They called themselves the March 22nd Movement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, very good.
So was there any talk of my friends the Rothschilds today?
No, none. Absolutely none. And tonight, evidently, Negative Land is at the Drake Hotel. Do you know?
Well, we ripped them off real good. Well, I didn't. Nelson Thal and what's his name? Former CKLN programmer, former advertising staff, was Jerry Belanger. They got Negative Land to contribute some stuff, and then Negative Land was told by Reverend Stang that they were that Nelson and Jerry Belanger were evil. So Negative Land puts on their website that they got duped, but they're wrong. They never got duped. They need the money. They work for. For Nelson, and Nelson then met with the Negative Land when they were last there in Toronto in 1993.
Gregory.
So if you see them,
Gregory.
Bring up Gerald Belanger and Nelson Thal, and maybe they'll do a little riff on it.
Gregory.
Yeah, I might go to the Negative Land thing tonight.
They go there and tease them.
Yeah.
Say that they never successfully killed me. Still operating, still here, still
Bob,
on the
Bob, I'm going to...
Still behind the scenes.
In the last minute remaining.
Groups, right?
In the 1 minute remaining, Bob, I'm going to go to this one call. Hold on. And so I'm going to say goodbye, Bob. Thank you.
Okay, done.
You're on the air on the waning last...
Thank you for taking my call. Bob, thank you for those kind words. And folks, what a great show we had. And in closing, I just want to let everybody know that right now there are canoes coming down the Don Valley River. Canoes are coming down. It's the annual canoe race to Lake Ontario. They do this each spring. Canoes are coming down the Don Valley River. That's all for now. We now return. Next week, our guests will be Johnny Weissmiller, Peter Ustinov, Sean Connery, and George Clooney. That's all for now.
And that is the International Connection for this week. Coming up is Sembradoras. And I'm going to...
Open the door.
Please, come in. Come in. Come in. Come in. Here are your promos. I'm going with them right now.
Okay. You put?
Yeah.
Okay.